Wrapping up the previous games and looking forward to the ones to come. This is Northern Colorado Preps Rewind, presented by Gould Parts in downtown Eaton on Preps Radio, 1310 KFKA. Here's Clark Johnson.
Good Wednesday afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Preps Midweek on 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. That's what we are. Simply said, folks, when you have the number one and two talk shows in the state, you kind of like to talk about it. So we do our morning show, Mornings with Gail, and then our, of course, the number one show in the state, the whole show, noon to two every day, folks, Northern Colorado's only live and local sports talk show. It's all right here on 1310 KFKA. And now we kick off the block party, abbreviated block party tonight from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We get midweek, and then we're getting right into Rockies baseball coming up here in a second. So Rockies off to a great start. That's good stuff. NHL is rocking and rolling, so I'm a happy camper, no doubt about it. Okay, now let's go to the other things. Football on the high school side is going to be in March. Well, we're going to talk to a couple coaches today. We're going to talk to one of the players involved. And this is interesting. Tanner True, who is a senior at Eaton High School, is a state wrestling champion. He goes right from wrestling to football in a matter of, like, negative days. How do you make that transition in a situation like that? So we've got Jeff Van Winkle, head football coach from Platte Valley High School. Of course, Jeff's a great friend of the show here. Eaton football coach Zach Lemon's going to jump on with us. We'll get both of their perspectives on what it's going to look like going forward here. Then our player profile brought to you by Martinez Roofing. That's the Eaton senior, Tanner True. We'll talk to him about him coming up as a wrestler moving into football. That's interesting. And then Windsor Athletic Director Eric Johnson, great friend of the show as well, will jump on with us and talk about what it's looking like from an athletic director's spot. They had a big conference meeting today with other ADs, so we'll find out what happened there, what it looks like. What I do know, there is, in usual years, there's a transition. If you go from, let's say, a winter sport to a spring sport or the next sport, you have to practice that next sport for 9 days before you can compete in a game. That's being waived by CHASA. That's what I heard from EJ today. So we'll talk about that. That's huge, especially as we try to compact the second half of the year in here. We get to after January 1st, this is going to be a heck of a high school run. But the cool thing here in the fall, we're going to get to talk about boys golf. We're going to get to talk about girls softball. And we're going to hit, this is such a great area for softball. So our 13 days, 13 teams coverage, which is usually high school football training camp coverage, we're going to turn to softball coming up here. So the next couple of weeks and a half, you're going to hear from a lot of softball teams in the area. UH just won a title, Fossil Ridge. They went to the 5A finals and lost to Columbine there. How about Loveland High School? Remember Lauren Krings, who won our Player of the Year vote on the up on our end of year run. We're going to talk to all of those teams, and it should be a ton of fun. That's all coming up here. We'll get it all up on the website for you and on the Facebook page as well. So let's do this right now. Want to thank Quality Well and Pump. They're a great sponsor on the program. NOCO's premier Zomatic irrigation dealer, serving NOCO since 2005. They've got you bookended on Highway 85 out there. We love Highway 85. All our sponsors out there in LaSalle, 356-7842. And in Alt, you can call them at 353-3118. It is Quality Well and Pump. Also, your great dealer for Sukup grain bins if you're holding grain on farm. Sukup grain bins, I'm told, is the cat's meow. So we'll get figuring there. Great one in the NHL right now. Hockey fans, 2-2, 17 minutes left in the first period there, if you are an NHL fan. Well, I'm a football fan. So the first two guys up on the program here are great friends of the program, and we get to find out what they're thinking on the high school football level. Up on the hotline right now with us, Platte Valley football coach Jeff Van Winkle. Jeff, how are you?
I'm not bad. You know, Clark, I'll tell you what, the crew's going to get upset with you. You fired him twice now. You put me at Platte Valley instead of at Res.
So. Oh, my God, did I do that?
You did twice.
Oh my God, that's the second time, and I have it written right here. Yeah, which is good. First of all, Jeff, Resurrection Christian High School. How can I forget that? I think you've been maybe between you and Troy the most visited to the show, and so
Sure. Yes,
I'm going to go stand out in the back for a while and reprimand myself for getting that wrong. Yeah, how can I get that wrong? Resurrection football coach Jeff Van Winkle is with us right now. He was with us 114 times last year, and I still can't figure out what school you're at. So here we go. But let's talk about it, Coach. The idea comes down from Chassa that we're going to shove football back to, basically practice the end of February, first game into the first part of March. That's a whole different scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, Clark, and it's something everybody's still trying to get their minds around now. You know, that first day of practice being the 22nd, and then game one is on March, that week of March 4th, 5th.
Yep.
So, we're not even getting really any chance before that to ramp up, with an off-season thing or anything like we typically do with football over the summer. You know, you get those workouts in, start getting kids out and everything, just getting over the summer. Now we're looking at kids that are going to be coming from, I heard you say it, from basketball and wrestling, to name a couple, trying to ramp up into football. So, it's going to be different for sure.
All right, let's talk about what it looks like now. You had to go to, it's been contingency plan after plan after plan after plan right now. Everything's changing. You guys get up there, and all of a sudden you're going from practicing on the field with the kids to saying, okay, stop what we're doing right now. We're gonna take a break. What does it look like between now and February 22nd when you guys can actually begin practice again?
Well, that's a conversation that I want to have with our athletic director.
Sure.
We touched a little bit on it last night just to kind of see what we can do. But depending on what's going on, I think some of the sports that are taking place over, the season A, as they're calling it, we'll still free up some football kids. Not a lot of cross country or golf kids for us. We have some guys that do golf that are kind of dual sport with us.
Sure.
So they'll be doing something else. But I'm hoping that what we can do, especially when we have some good weather out here, is can we partner up with some other schools in the area, and do some 7-on-7s or, do some things like that in shorts and shirts. Yeah, but I really tried. I really don't know, Clark. It's one of those things where, I talked with Coach Hoffman yesterday and Coach Lemon, Coach Buzmente, just talking
sure.
about different things in the area. We're all kind of racking our brains for what can we do? What types of things can we get going? So I'm hoping that after a conversation with our athletic director, we've got some direction on what we can actually do. We just want to be near the kids, hanging out and doing stuff. It's, having fall without football is going to be tough enough. Being able to hang out with the team would make it a little better in some capacity.
All right, you just talked about Troy Hoffman, Platte Valley High School. Of course, I'm getting that right. Rob Buzmente, of course, from Sterling High School. Zach Lemon over at Eaton. We're going to talk to Zach here in a second, and then you. Who's the brainiac in that bunch?
Oh, my goodness. Probably Coach Lemon.
That's
right. I'm not going to take it away from Troy or Rob, but I'll tell you what, probably Zach.
Of course. Somebody's got to be guiding the group.
Right.
That's pretty good stuff right there. Let's talk about some things that are on my mind. We're still right now, the way Chassa has it for football, it's an eight-team playoff. Aside from what is normally a 16-team playoff, 4 weeks. Of course, they want to shorten it up and go 3 weeks. Sayings that I'm hearing out there, the talk that I'm hearing right now is, hey, let's go, instead of a 7-game season, which is the new number for the games you're going to play. And remember, you've got a 5-game conference season there, so those are in the books. Instead of going 2 non-conference, maybe you go 1 conference and allow 16 teams into the playoffs. That's not set yet.
I'm not really sure. I know that there was some, some talk yesterday, again, just brief conversation with my athletic director, Dan Nabb, and he says that they're still kicking around different ideas of what they can do. I think right now they're setting on, it's a 7-game season with a 3-week playoff. The conversation again that I had last night with those other coaches really was, how are you going to determine them playoff criteria?
Sure.
Today I got an email forwarded to me that says basically what they're going to do is take, our week 4 through 10 schedule, and so, for us, that's going to be 2 3A schools in Skyview and Holy Family before we hit our conference. So what does, what does the weight look like for RPI?
Sure,
is RPI
sure.
the qualifier?
Yep.
And so there's a lot of questions that we kind of came up with last night. So I think, the athletic directors along with Chass are going to need to look at what that, what those criteria are for the playoffs and then make a good decision for what we do for the postseason.
And it might not even be the traditional RPI that we've had for the last
right.
number of years. It might be something different. And we'll talk to Zach about that too, coming up here here in a second, but very interesting. What about the what we always hear in the off season and coming up to the season, the 7-on-7 camps, the things we traditionally get, are those all going to be left aside?
I don't know how they can't, you know. I mean, especially when you're talking about the different sports that are going to be going on, you know, and the fact that it's going to be the middle of winter.
Yeah.
You know, being able to get out and do some of those things is going to be difficult. You know, it's just a challenge. You know, this is an opportunity for us to figure out a different way to do things. You know, we were doing Zoom calls and everything when we got shut down before, you know, and that wasn't something we had done before. So, you know, this is one of those things now where we just have to look and say, okay, what can we do? Yeah, those traditional camps may be something of the past right now for us, but, you know, we still got to get ready for a season. You know, the fact for me, the thing that's exciting for me is, you know, I'm it's different to not have fall football, but, you know, with the decision yesterday, at least we have a direction. At least we can circle something and say, okay, here's our date, you know, and now it's up to the coaching staffs to get going and make it what we can.
It was hard enough last year just to end basketball short and then say no spring sports. At least they're looking, hey, we want to have football. We want to try to figure it out. We're going to push it back and see if we can get there by the time the end of February, first of March rolls around. So that's all good stuff. Does this change if you look at the way a kid is? You've got a senior on the team. Some colleges are looking at him. Does it change his direction for getting to a college the next year after his senior year at your school?
You know, Clark, it's a great question. Yeah, I wish I could answer it. It's you know, we've had conversations, you know, with different college coaches about different players that we've got, some that'll be seniors.
Sure.
You know, what happens now when we're playing our season in May, you know, when some of those things are going on at colleges and whatnot. I don't know what that's really going to look like. You know, it'll give them maybe a chance to look maybe a little different now. Instead of being in the middle of their season like we are ours, perhaps they could come out and visit and see kids play a little bit more. Maybe that gets more exposure for kids. You know, I really don't know what it's going to look like.
Yep.
It'll be conversations that we have with our kids that are in conversations with colleges. You know, who wants to play at the next level? What can we do to help? You know, it'll just be a different thing to look at.
I learned the other day that on a text, IDK means I don't know. I think that's the answer that most of us have right now with most of the stuff going on is I don't know. I mean, it changes.
Right.
Yep, no doubt about it. Man, thank you for jumping on with us, Jeff. That's Resurrection Christian head football coach Jeff Van Winkle. I'm in so much trouble for blowing that one. So, yeah. Man, Jeff, thank you. I know that you're always accessible for us, and as we move closer and get other things going on, we'll jump back on with you. But take care of yourself, and I know that we'll be talking to you soon, okay?
Clark, that sounds great. And let me just say, I think it's really cool that you guys are going to be able to look at other sports now. You know, those 13 days. 13
oh, yeah.
Games. You guys do such a great job. And there's so many sports that we've got that are doing just such tremendous work in the area. So I'm excited for the seasons that we're going to get to see. And I'm really excited to hear that you guys are going to give them some time on the air as well. That's very cool.
Yeah, you say that, and that's a great segue because coming up next week, we're going to be out of Eaton Country Club. And your school, Resurrection Christian, the golf team, which is terrific out there, going to be part of that. So we get to talk about golf. We get to really hammer girls softball this year. That's going to be fun. So, yeah, you're right. Sometimes you're given a situation and it produces other great things that you wouldn't normally be able to get to, and you brought up a great point.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So thanks for all that you guys do, Clark. You have a great day. You know, tell those other coaches I said hello, and we'll talk to you later.
Will do. Thank you so much. That's Jeff Van Winkle, the head football coach at Resurrection Christian High School. Jumps right in there, and a number of years now, they're just knocking it out of the park, so good stuff over there. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to Eaton football coach Zach Lemon. Same conference as Resurrection Christian. So we'll talk about that. The Patriot League West, these two rivals, but good guys. I mean, you talk about he and Zach and Rob Basmente, Troy Hoppen getting together and just knocking it out of the park, talking about what football is going to look like. Come back with Eaton football coach in a moment as we continue from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
The best UNC Bears talk and game coverage lives on 1310 KFKA.
Little Electric Light Orchestra here dialing up the afternoon on Preps Midweek. Oh, the greatest rock and roll band in the history of the world is up with us right now. And one of the greatest coaches we've ever had is up on the hotline right now. Eton football coach Zach Lemon joins us. Zach, how are you, big man?
Well, I've been telling people the last 6 months, I don't know how to answer that question. <That's>... But considering the circumstances, I'm good. I'm good.
That's exactly right. I mean, I was just talking to Jeff Van Winkle, and I said, I don't know is the answer for everybody right now, because we don't know. But we've got some new information, football going to February 22nd is we can start practicing. March 4th is when you can have your first game in there. And I'm going to talk to you because you're a coach that has to look at the players in the previous sector, the previous seasons of sports coming up, and wrestling's going to be a part of that. Basketball's going to be a part of that in front of you guys. What I did find out today, Eric Johnson, the Windsor AD, told me they're waiving the 9-day moratorium where the kids usually have to practice for 9 days before they can move to that next sport. EJ, we're going to have him on at the end of the program here, but he told me in confidence, hey, they're going to waive that and the kids can move right in. So at least as we're trying to shove everything together, it makes that a little bit, the transition at least a little bit easier.
Yeah, and, you know, that's exactly it. All we've ever done and all we've ever cared about is kids. Are we doing what's best for our
that's
kids?
Right.
Are we doing what's best for our athletes? And we want our wrestlers to go compete for a state championship.
Yep.
We want our basketball players to be right in the thick of a championship. And we don't want to take that away from them. But at the same time, we don't want to take away their opportunities of football, too. So if we're doing what's best for the kids to give them their opportunities while keeping them safe, that's got to be at the forefront of every decision.
What they did come up with a 7-game season. So we know 5 of those are going to be conference games for you guys. What that brings along is if we go 7 games, it sounds like an 8-team tournament at the end of the year for the postseason as opposed to the regular 16-team schedule. So less 1 week there. Would you rather take one of the non-conference games away and stick to what has been a 16-team playoff, or do you want to go 7 games, get that extra RPI effort on the non-conference side, and go 8 teams? Where are you standing there?
Well, again, it comes down to what are the criteria for the playoff?
Sure.
Because ultimately we want to play, but at the same time we want to be in a championship hunt every year.
Sure.
And what I want to know is how are the playoff teams going to be chosen if it's only an 8-team playoff? Mm-hmm. Is it our league champs guaranteed? So are we going to have 7 league champs and only 1 at large? Or are they going to go straight RPI in the top 8 teams in the RPI? Are they in regardless of conference finish?
Right.
Are they going to do what they did last year, the average of RPI, Max Preps rating, Eric Packard rating, and coaches poll rating?
Right.
You know, what's going to be the criteria to get into the playoffs? Because that'll help with my decision. Right, on what I would prefer to have. If it comes down to straight RPI, then I think we need to have extra non-conference games. If it's a variety of those polls, then maybe we could get away with 1 conference game and get more teams into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just depends on what they decide. And selfishly speaking, I want to do what's best to get the best teams in the playoffs.
Sure. Sure.
But at the same time, some people are going to suggest that equity still needs to play a part in it, which I understand that we need equal representation from around the state, from all the leagues. But at the same time, is that getting the best teams in? So those are some questions that need to be answered by CHASA, by the state, by the football committee. What's going to be the criteria for making the playoffs?
Yeah, and when you talk 2A football, you talk Patriot League and you talk Metro. And then everybody else, you know. And if it's – we could just simply, if we wanted the best 8 teams, you're probably going to get 8 Patriot League and Metro teams. But it's, you know, I mean, that's probably not – you could throw LeHunt in there and other teams.
And Delta.
I get that. Yeah. But there's probably a conference in the mix that's going, oh, God, if it's just the top 8 RPI, we're playing for nothing this year. That's an interesting scenario, no doubt about it.
So in that case, I agree that everybody should get their chances. So if we do that, I am not opposed to keeping the 16-game playoff and limiting it to 1 non-conference game. Then the other question arises is how is that 1 non-conference game chosen? Is it just your week 4, as I know that you've talked about, is it just that week 4 game, that last regularly scheduled non-conference game, is that going to be it for everybody? If you had a bye week at that point, do all the bye week teams come together and try to make that work? they don't know how that's going to be either. Because it'd be nice to make that decision with the scheduling to decide what that non-conference game is or what those two non-conference games are.
Yeah.
And we just don't know that yet.
That's crazy. We're talking with Zach Lemon, head football coach at Eaton High School. What did you say to your kids now? Of course, you guys are contingency plan number 4 million at this point, and now you have to stop and say, okay, guys, we're not really going to reconvene until February 22nd. Between now and then, you've got to put out a whole new plan, right?
Yeah, and I actually haven't met with the team yet. I'm planning on sending out an email and meeting on Monday when we would normally meet for practice. I want to make sure I have all of the information needed before I meet with them and tell them. You know, we hope to do as much as we can to keep progress going. I love what our weights program is doing right now,
sure.
And I know that all of our football players are actually in a weights class, and I know they're finding ways to do that safely and continue that. So we will still be lifting once school starts, and we'll still be getting exercise, we'll still be getting stronger. I just don't know what the football side of things looks, what we're going to be able to do. I'm pretty sure that we will not be allowed to be in pads of any sort, but mm-hmm. I don't know what the limitations will be on what kind of on-field activity we can do, if they're going to continue with the protocol that we've had or if some new regulations will be put in place. I'm just so we're still waiting to figure that out, and hopefully we're able to do some football things while still keeping players safe and giving them other opportunities.
And then as we move close to, that February 22nd date, you got, normally we're talking 7-on-7 camps and things that get you ready to get to that point. If we're in the middle of winter, there's other stuff going on. It's snowing like a mother out here. How does that work?
Good question. Yeah, those are things that we still have to decide. And all we can hope is that, we did some practicing this summer. We were able to have our own camp. We weren't able to compete, but at least we're able to get some practices in. And at least we feel like we're that far ahead. Now we hope that the retention of players, in the next 6 months maintains that retention, so we can do some continued learning and some mental reps and all of that stuff. And knowing that even when we start football, we're used to 3 weeks before we get to play. Now it's going to be 2, if that.
Yep.
We're going to have 1 week of preseason training, and then the next week is a prep week for an opponent already. And so we have to be mentally ready for that and hope that those athletes are in good enough shape to continue at that point.
All right, so I'm just going to bring this up, and I know this has been a question that I've heard already. What about kids that are so big into club sports, and then of course they jump out and they play for their school? This is going to change everything. We're going to have some kids having to make decisions between club and the school.
I've always said that I am thankful to be a football coach, because I've never had to deal with that.
That's right.
Just not
right.
Club football like there is basketball, baseball, volleyball,
you
and
bet.
So on. So I've always been thankful that it hasn't been a competition for me. And again, like I said, I want to do what's best for kids, but at the same time, our school programs can't suffer.
Sure.
And we want to maintain the integrity of our school programs. And, what happens in the future when we get back to our quote-unquote, air quotes, normal,
sure.
Right, when we get beyond this, what will our programs look like 2, 3, 4 years down the road?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we have to consider. If our middle school programs aren't playing, if our youth programs don't play, how are we going to continue to grow football in especially our small communities? Or how many of those guys are going to go to different areas to play in some now these newly developed football clubs? I just don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah, this is so interesting, and you bring up a great point right there. We're going to get a player's perspective in a moment. Tanner True, I'm sure Tanner's going to be one of your captains this year coming up here, offensive line, defensive line, and he's a wrestler too, so this is going to be interesting for him. But, Zach, as we get closer and we start to get more answers and what's going on, we'll catch up with you again. But I just appreciate you jumping on and talking about at least what this looks like out of your eyes right now.
Yeah, and we've got to be positive. We've got
yep.
to be thankful
yep.
that we have a direction and we have a purpose, and continue to work towards improving day after day. That's
yeah.
what we can do.
Yeah, boy, if they would have said, hey, we're just going to eliminate fall sports like they did spring, everybody would be crying in their soup right now. So at least they're moving and giving us a chance to make this happen down the road. Zach, thanks
Absolutely.
So much. Zach, I know you're busy. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Zach Lemon, head football coach, Eaton High School. He's a good dude. And that's Jeff Van Winkle from Rez, Zach Lemon from Eaton, just talking about what it looks like from where they're sitting right now. We're going to get a player's perspective coming up next year as we get to the bottom of the hour from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. You are listening to the Preps Midweek here, Preps Radio. When we come back, it'll be the Martinez Roofing Player Profile with Tanner True, the Eaton senior. We're back with Tanner in a moment, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
1310 KFKA, Greeley, Fort Collins, and Loveland. Your home for prep sports and the UNC Bears.
All right, 4:34 on this Wednesday, an abbreviated edition of the Block Party tonight. We've got Rockies baseball coming up. Rockies are rolling right now, so that's good stuff. Keep that in mind. The crowd is the automated crowd going wild. I love when I hear the games on TV and the visiting team has a great play or something and the crowd's going nuts. I'm like, that's not correct. That's supposed to be the hometown crowd. So the automated folks, they got to get it right. They got to figure out who gets the cheering and who doesn't. And it makes it just a little bit better. Get to my favorite segment of the program here on Preps Midweek, brought to you, of course, by Quality Well and Pump. But this segment is owned by Martinez Roofing, our player profile right here. Martinez Roofing Incorporated. Then they have been a family-owned and operated roofing contractor in northern Colorado since August of 2000. Martinez Roofing, proudly owned by Steve and Jenny Martinez. They pride themselves with honest, top-of-the-line craftsmanship. Give them a call. You want somebody with integrity, a roofer on your side? Go to Martinez Roofing, 330-6557. 330-6557 it is, Martinez Roofing. Up on the hotline with us right now, senior out at Eaton High School, Tanner True. Tanner, how are you, big man?
Good. How are you?
Fantastic. Okay, so got a couple of coaches. Got your coach, Zach Lemon, on. Got Jeff Van Winkle from Rez on. Talked about what the coaches are seeing right now. I wanted to get a player on, and this is cool for you because wrestling and football, I know for you, they're going to go hand in hand this year. This is going to be a different thing. Let's talk about what you've been going through at practice, and now all of a sudden you guys got to put the brakes on and say, okay, we're going to kind of be on our own until February.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot different, obviously. But, yeah, it sucks kind of getting really excited and having our two-week camp and getting things going and then just having it shut down for almost 6 months now until beginning of March, which is just definitely going to suck for football, and it's going to be way different. I mean, wrestling's still about the same season starting January, but – yeah, they're going to overlap, which is going to suck. Going to be some hard decisions to make then, come then.
Well, there's a great chance you're going to be at the Pepsi Center, you know, at the end of, well, I guess they've got it slated for the state finals for wrestling that first week in March. That's also what they have slated for that first game on the football side. So if that sticks true, that's especially maybe in a year where there's 11, 12 games, that's not that big a deal. But football's being cut to 7 games. Missing one game, Tanner's going to be huge, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, every game obviously is going to count now, only being 7 games. It's going to be a huge deal to miss a game, so hopefully we can figure something out.
You're going to be wrestling again, though. We know that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, and then on to the next level, though. Football is what you're looking at the college level, right?
Yeah, that definitely. I mean, I'm open to options, but I'm definitely leaning towards football.
Have you had colleges talking about you already and reaching out?
Yeah, I've talked to a few colleges.
All right, well, that's something that we'll get to. Of course, your senior year coming up. How about this? I hear that we could go 7 games in football, which would mean you'd have your 5 conference games and 2 non-conference games. RPI is going to play a big deal in that. Still don't know how we're going to say the teams that get to the playoffs, but they're talking about only 8 teams. Half as many get to the playoffs this year. Or we could take one of the non-conference games away and have all 16 teams that normally get into the playoffs go there. What side of the fence are you on? Would you rather have the extra game in the season, or would you rather have the full complement of 16 teams in the playoffs?
I would rather have the extra game, honestly.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, you win the conference, you're probably going to get there. It might be in this weird year where they just say the best eight RPI get there, and then it's probably a flat face-off between, I know there's Delta and La Junta, so we got to throw them in there, but it's pretty much Metro and Patriot League that come to the play. So that's interesting. Now and that February 22nd date, I know you'll be wrestling in January, but what on the football side will you do? Is it just weight work and stuff between now and then?
No, I think it'll be good for us to, even though the coaches can't really lead anything, but if our players can get together and still keep our minds fresh until then and just keep thinking football, I think that'll help us a lot.
Yeah, no question about it. It's going to be a busy time. Let's see, anywhere else I want to go with you? Now, I think we're there. So if you, I mean, better they said, hey, let's push it back to February, March for football than just put the axe down like they did for spring sports and say, okay, we're not ready, fall sports are out. At least you guys still get to play, right?
Yeah, I mean, it still gives us hope. It's like you said, playing is better than not playing, so... If we have to wait to play, I'd rather do that than not play at all.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. Tanner, thanks. I know you're a busy kiddo. Thanks for jumping on with us. And as we get closer, and certainly as we get into wrestling, we're going to cover that big down at the state tournament this year. We'll be talking to you again, okay?
Yep, for sure. Talk to you then.
You bet. Tanner True is a senior at Eaton High School. Fun for him to step on right there and talk about what it looks like from the kids' eyes as we get going here. As we said, better than just the axe falling saying no fall sports, let's try to get everybody in. And we know, folks, how big football here is in the state of Colorado and throughout the nation. There's no doubt about it. All right, we'll come back on the Preps Midweek program here. Quality Well and Pump is our great sponsor, of course. NOCO's premier Zomatic irrigation dealer out here. They've got you bookended on Highway 85 out there. They're in LaSalle, they're in Ault, and they're knocking out of the park. If you're in the market for a used center pivot, Quality Well and Pump is certainly the place to go. Their great technicians can also service your existing center pivot sprinkler, your irrigation pump, or your submersible. As we always say, if you're holding grain on farm, they've got the Sukup grain bins as well. Quality Well and Pump, longtime sponsor for us here at Preps Radio and on the program, and we thank them for every single thing that they do. Look for the big red Q Quality Well and Pump. All right, when we come back on the program, we're going to reach out and talk to Windsor Athletic Director, a great friend of the program. Eric Johnson will jump on with us. Come back in a moment from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. This is Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
KFKA Preps Radio is Northern Colorado's home for the best high school coverage.
All right, 4:44 on the Preps Midweek this Wednesday afternoon. Rockies baseball is coming up here real soon. Only Northern Colorado station to have Rockies baseball. Big thing for us this year, so... And they're knocking it out of the park so far. Trevor Story is knocking it out of the park, but everybody is how about the pitching for the Rockies so far? Absolutely great starting pitching, but in this short 60-game stretch, boy, huge start for the Rockies, no doubt. All right, let's continue. We've got the coaches' look at what's going on at high school football. We've got the players' look. Now we get an athletic director's look. One of the great friends on the show jumps in right now. It is Windsor Athletic Director Eric Johnson. EJ, how are you?
Doing very well, Clark. How are you today?
Thanks, man. I know you've been in conferences today. You've had league conference talks. What does this look like from what you're looking at as far as football? I say, first of all, thank you for not just throwing the axe to fall sports and say like they did in the spring and saying, okay, we can't do this now. We can do three sports. Everybody else, you're done. At least they're looking to find a spot for football, which is so big for us.
Right. I really do appreciate the opportunity not only to be on with you and to talk to your listeners about what's going on, but certainly appreciative of the fact that our kids will get a chance to compete. It's going to be a different time, and it's going to look totally different than what we're used to. But very excited about that opportunity.
Eric, what are your biggest concerns about compacting basically most of the high school sports into three seasons instead of the four right here? As far as, and I know that when we talked earlier today, you said that the 9-day moratorium usually the kids have when they go from a season B sport to a season C sport, from winter to spring, whatever it is, they've got to go 9 days of practice before they can compete in a in a game. That's being being waived, it sounds like, right?
That's correct. Yeah, there is an exception to the bylaw regarding the number of practices that an athlete has to have before they are eligible to compete in the first contest. But that, now that football falls in the sort of the middle of the calendar, unlike when it usually does, is going to be waived. So if an athlete has participated in a season A sport or a season B sport, and if that sport, then, say, for instance, wrestling or basketball, runs into the postseason, which would conflict with the start of football in season C, that athlete would be eligible to participate right away without having those 9 required practices that it normally takes for football.
Yeah, the first thing I thought about when I saw wrestling handing off to football, I thought about you guys. I mean, it's probably the best wrestling program in the state. Look what happened last year. I mean, state championship, all that great stuff. And then we know how great the history of the football program is at Windsor too. I said, with that moratorium, with the 9 days in there, that's going to create all kinds of stuff. Especially in, maybe it wouldn't in an 11 game season, because we always get that, or a 12 game season, but in a 7 game season, all of those football games become that much more important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think also the fact that we wanted to consider still giving kids an opportunity to compete in multiple sports and still believing that that's an important thing, and not having to make them choose one or the other. So I'm glad that the CHASS committees that put together the proposals and the realignments thought of that and granted that exception to that rule.
Now, I hear that football, they're still trying to figure out how they're going to get the postseason teams involved and how many they're going to go. Do we go, you know, the conference games plus one non-conference game and have the regular 16 teams in there? Do we shorten it down to 8 teams to kind of get a week on our side so we don't have to have that fourth week of the playoffs and you have that extra non-conference game? What side of the fence are you on there?
So it's kind of interesting. It depends on which classification you're going to play.
Okay,
so
okay.
For 4A and 5A, you're going to basically start your season with your week 4 game, and then you're just going to play weeks 4 through 10 with no issues there. So you lose your three non-conference games at the beginning of the year. For the other classes, for the lower classes, it's going to be a little more complicated because some of those conferences have bye weeks built in. And Commissioner Bright, Adam Bright, who's the CHASS commissioner in charge of football, has put together sort of a database where schools are going in and entering what those bye weeks are for them and allowing people to kind of mix and match and help each other piece together a schedule so that everyone gets an equal number of games. And then if I recall the information that I was given correctly, I believe that at least in 4A, we're going to go to an 8-team bracket.
Okay.
And it's just going to go right off of RPI, conference champions and RPI considerations.
So as many teams as would be in order in the RPI can come out of the same conference?
I couldn't speak to that for certainty.
Okay.
Like I said, I haven't had a ton of time to examine the proposal since it just came out, but I do believe that it is an 8-team bracket for the postseason.
Very, very cool. Okay, before I let you go here, we love multi-sport athletes. In this day and age of club sports, what I don't want to see is kids having to choose between club and playing high school ball, because we want the integrity of the high school teams to stay at its utmost. Thoughts for you on club versus in this odd season that we're going to have right now, club versus high school?
Yeah, so I think it's important for people to understand that that balance started to become an issue a few years ago, and CHASS addressed it with a bylaw that allows student athletes to compete both for their high school team and a club team at the same time with the written permission of the building principal.
Okay.
And so, for instance, there's a lot of concern for people about, a club season. I think volleyball comes to mind with where they've outlined where volleyball is going to play and where the typical volleyball club season exists. Athletes won't have to choose necessarily. There may be some overlap in terms of a regularly scheduled league contest or a league match and a club event. but they will still be eligible to compete for those things at the same time. So it's probably going to be burning a candle at both ends for sure for a lot of our kiddos, but we're still going to try to maximize their ability to compete and to get the value out of what we know, especially school-based athletics are all about.
Fantastic. Eric, thanks so much for jumping on with us and giving us some time. I know you're busy, but needed to get an AD's look at what's going on and what it looks like down the road for us.
Absolutely, Clark. Always appreciate the time with you, and thanks for what you do for high school sports in the state, man.
Absolutely. That's Eric Johnson, the athletic director. Great, great human being, and just does everything aces. I mean, good stuff. Eric Johnson, EJ from Windsor High School. Come back and get to our final segment here. Try to get the Kevin Lytle interview. When we come back in a moment from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, it's the Preps Midweek on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Speaking of coverage, Kevin Lytle was covering the Zoom meeting that CHASA was holding, and we appreciate him joining us now. Kevin, we finally got an answer, and it's confusing as hell.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated, definitely a lot different than anything we've ever seen, which, you know, probably isn't a big surprise. Obviously, 2020 is all kind of stuff we've never seen, so I guess it fits in that way. But yeah, it's going to be a whole new season for the high school sports, and it's going to be a long one too. Sort of long one, but with a big break in the middle.
Right. So I've worked through, I kind of set everything up about season A, B, C, and D. So I guess the questions remain, and I'm just going to fire some at you if that's okay, Kevin, and you let me know what was added inside of that meeting. But, you know, one of the big ones that I have is, say there's a football player here in the state, can they move up to somewhere like Wyoming or Nebraska, play football there, and then transfer back and play again in the fall?
Nope, CHASA, they address that, and I think there's kind of a bylaw right now, but they're basically going to make sure to have a bylaw that prohibits you from playing one sport twice in a school year, basically. So yeah, no one will have that ability if you leave the state to go play football or any sport in the fall. Right now, even if you were a transfer back, you wouldn't be able to play it again in the spring.
Did they say anything at all about, in regards to the practice numbers, the number of practices required, because these sports are going to get dangerously close to overlapping?
So, yeah, you have kind of your typical practice numbers needed before competition, but really the overlap isn't too much different than it would be in normal season. It's just kind of different which sports are overlapping. For instance, in a normal year, a football team goes to the state championship and those players are then, you know, late for the basketball season. Now it'll be the opposite. If a basketball team goes to the state championship, they'll be late for football season and you'll still have to get the same number of practices in. The big difference, though, is the seasons are shorter. So,
right.
You know, in a normal year, missing a couple basketball games, not the end of the world because you're playing a lot of them. But now you have fewer games in all sports, and especially that one, the basketball to football example, I think is probably the biggest one that certainly will impact. You know, if you miss 2 weeks of football season, that's 2 of 7 regular season games. So that's still in place. Like I say, the true date or number of days of overlap is very similar to a normal year, but it feels like more because of the compressed schedule.
Right, and that's kind of where I was going with that as well, is that, you know, it could lead into a 2 or 3 week miss. So you're talking about kids being missing half the season. Do you see any way that CHASA changes the number of practices required, or is that just standard safety procedures?
Yeah, I don't see there's any way that will move, especially to use that basketball season into football season. That's a somewhat significant change in what you're doing, what sport you're going to. And, you know, football always has the longest lead-in needed to the season. So I would be surprised if that changes.
We're talking with Kevin Lytle of the Colorado, and after CHASA finally makes a decision, well, I can't just put that on CHASA. That was the governor's office as well, waiting quite a long time. Kevin, I was even having athletic directors tell me, just make a decision. We got to know one way or the other so that we can start to prep for it. How many coaches and athletic directors are scrambling right now and saying, all right, how in the hell are we going to pull this off?
Yeah, I think it's one of those from a sort of mental standpoint and, you know, to prepare, yeah, you want it. But on the flip side, you know, the majority of sports were delayed. So it's not like you're scrambling to put together a season right now. So I get the uncertainty. But on the other hand, for the four fall sports that we're going to go, hopefully people were planning as if they would, because it's always easier to plan as if something will happen and then cancel it rather than wait till the last minute and then try and scramble it together. But yeah, it's certainly a little bit of, you know, I think a lot of people had some you know, pseudo panic about what to do. And obviously there are people considering making really, really big decisions, like moving out of state to go play their sport, which obviously is a whole other conversation. But yeah, I think everyone was waiting. They just needed a plan, needed to know what to look forward to and plan for.
All right, there is Kevin Lytle, a talk with Tanner Schwint on our afternoon program. NOCO Now, what a great program that is community bent. It's great stuff. NOCO Now, 4 to 5 with Tanner Schwint every single afternoon, except Wednesdays because we've got the block party here. So, but then Tanner switches to Brew Talk, 2 hours of Brew Talk. That sounds way more fun to me than NOCO Now, but still, it's a great show. So jump in and listen 4 to 5 Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And it was yesterday that Tanner caught up with Kevin Lytle. Lytle's great. Love. He says it's a quarantine beard, but he's a hockey fan, and I know it's a playoff beard. I mean, it might be he started growing it during quarantine, Lytle did, but that's a playoff beard, folks. I mean, it's all about hockey. Speaking of hockey right now, if you're an Avalanche fan, I know it's not an elimination series. They'll get to that in the next round, but the Avs leading Dallas 1-0 with 11 minutes left in the first period in their round-robin game. So, Avalanche, they got a chance, folks. Could be bringing home a cup, no doubt about it. Thank you so much on the program today to Jeff Van Winkle. Well, I called him the Platte Valley head coach. I'm going to be shot for that. Troy Hoffman, I love you, but Jeff Van Winkle's the Resurrection Christian coach, which I said 4 million times in my life. It's like getting your own name wrong. Res Christian coach Jeff Van Winkle jumped on with us. Zach Lemon, head football coach at Eaton High School. Our player profile brought to you by Martinez Roofing. That was Tanner True. We thank Tanner for jumping on with us. And Windsor Athletic Director EJ Eric Johnson jumped off, and we got his view from the athletic director's side. All right, folks, have a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Hug your kids. We'll talk to you soon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.